Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This episode of the Analyst Inside Cricket is brought to you by IG, official partners of England cricket, and the place to go if you want to get on the front foot and manage your own investments. IG's platform allows you to invest in thousands of international shares and exchange-traded funds, as well as a number of fully managed, ready-made portfolios if you'd rather leave it to the experts. To find out more, go to ig.com/investing, remembering that the value of your investments may fall as well as rise, and you may get back less than you deposit.
Jones! Bowden!
He's got it! England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins!
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match!
Hello, welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket. A bright sunny day at the Oval, but no cricket because, of course, England polished off the runs required. Just 33 they required as they took guard this morning, the final day of this strangely interrupted Test match. And they polished off those runs for the loss of just the one wicket in about six and a bit overs. So not much cricket to watch. And actually now we're just watching the ground staff preparing the ground, cutting the outfield for whatever is coming up here at the Oval next. So an impressive 2-1 series victory by England, having lost that first test by an inning. So a remarkable turnaround. And we'll be hearing a bit from Ben Stokes about how that was performed, how that was executed later in this programme. But first, I'm pleased to say I've got probably the most experienced cricket journalist on the circuit, John Etheridge from The Sun, here to talk about what he's seen. Using your experience, John, which I know goes back into the 1980s to watch England's test performances. First test, 1989, is that right?
Yeah, I've covered every home test since 1989. I did a couple before then, but certainly every single one since 89. And when Ted Dexter was just installed as the supremo of the England team.
Wow, and you've got some funny stories about that. I know some funny reminiscences about Ted Dexter's time, the late Ted Dexter, of course, who died earlier this year. Actually, there's a memorial service coming up for him in about 2 days' time in the Long Room at Lord's. He was a great friend of mine, but anyway, we won't talk about that. England, I mean, firstly, the turnaround, was it surprising to you, or did you actually expect South Africa to crumble at some stage?
Well, in this match, yeah. I mean, I think England were the dominant team. I mean, this is one of the worst batting teams ever to visit this country, South Africa. I mean, the days of Smith, Amla, Karis, de Villiers must seem a long time ago to South Africans, but this is a weak batting lineup, vulnerable and incapable really of handling the moving Duke's ball. So the likes of Broad, Anderson, Robinson had a great time of it, didn't they? And looking back now, you wonder how on earth South Africa won that first Test match by an innings.
Yes, well, you do. I suppose they did have an impressive four-pronged attack, and actually I thought that attack was reminiscent of some of the West Indies attacks that have been here in many sort of decades past, and you would have seen them as well. But they didn't use that attack again after that first test. They left out the impressive left arm of Marco Janssen, and then this test, Ungidi was injured. So they've never had that four-pronged attack since. But in the end, I suppose it doesn't matter how good your bowlers are, if you don't score runs, and you're always struggling in a test match, and that's what England have found in the past as well, recent past.
Yeah, I mean, South Africa just had no runs to play with them, bowled out for 118 here on day one. I mean, you know, as you say, I mean, Rabada's a beautiful bowler, takes wickets at, you know, every 40 balls or so, knocked a fast, unsettled a few of the England batsmen, and Janssen, left-arm swing, should have played at Old Trafford, but if you're being bowled out for 100, 150, you've really got no chance whatsoever. And yeah, so England will finish the summer on a high. Six wins out of seven test matches in this home summer. First time they've won six at home since 2004. And when you consider they'd won one of their previous 17 test matches before Stokes and McCullum took over, then it's been a remarkable turnaround. And I think, you know, I think the way they've played has been great fun, hasn't it? I mean, people talk about Bazball, which Baz himself, Brendan McCullum, doesn't like the term, and the players don't really like it, but it's a sort of media concocted phrase, Bazball, but in a way...
So it's you're to blame,
well,
isn't it?
We're to blame for most things, actually, yeah, but no, but it was, you know, they've played in a way that's been eminently watchable. I think the standard of cricket, particularly in this South African series, has been quite low. Ball has dominated bat too much. The pitches have been quite tricky as well. But generally, it's been hugely watchable and great fun.
Is it good for cricket, this kind of dominance, a ball over bat? And well, there's a fox I've just seen running across the oval there, leaving. It just went close by the BBC highlights crew there and ran into under the covers. These short games, I mean, this. I've just been speaking to Andy Zaltzman, the BBC statistician. Actually, he'd probably prefer to be known as a comedian, but anyway, he comes out with some quite serious stats, and one of them was that this is the shortest series in terms of three test series, in terms of overs bowled, since the 19th century. I mean, that doesn't spell... It's not a good sign for the game if batsmen can't stay in.
No, I agree. I mean, we've had effectively had 3 2-day test matches in terms of, you know, the number of overs bowled, pretty much, and tricky pitches, and teams who are much stronger in bowling than they are in batting, and you know, the sort of, you know, the ability to stay in for periods of time, to, you know, to show patience, discipline, technique, all these sort of slightly tedious sounding expressions of the modern day player, have almost been eliminated from the game. They just want to go out and smash it, which is fine, which is good fun, and it makes it watchable. But I think at times you've got to think, well, people want to watch test matches that last 4 or 5 days. And in fairness, the early test matches of the summer against New Zealand did go the distance. I remember, you know, full crowds on the final day playing a 5 or a 10 ahead. I mean, in the match at Trent Bridge, New Zealand scored 500 and England still won. So that, you know, so I think, but the way the last 3 test matches of South Africa have gone have not been great in terms of sort of the what people want and expect from a test match.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with you. And of course, it's easy to forget, as you say, that there were 500 scored earlier in the summer in the New Zealand series. I suppose it's just, do we want to go back to an era where you get, you know, a sort of 20 not out at lunch from a Boycott and an Edrich? Maybe not. Maybe we don't want that kind of almost sort of dogged accumulation, because the game has sort of moved on.
Yeah, I mean, England batted more, I suppose, patiently. It's still a strong tempo. They scored at 4 and over. But in the second test in Manchester, when Stokes and Folkes made hundreds, they played well. They played sensibly. Here, their view was that the pitch was so tricky and there was always going to be a ball with their name on it, so they just went out and attacked. And from 80-odd for two, they were bowled out for 150, weren't they? And when the lead was 40, and they probably should have got a lead of 150, maybe even 200. So, but you know, it's difficult to be too critical, because they've won. They've won 6 test matches out of 7. People have been entertained, and the, you know, the viewing figures for the highlights on test cricket have been very strong. People have loved the way they played. So I'm loath to be too critical, but I would like to see test matches lasting more than 2 days.
I worry about Alex Lees. I just feel he looks a bit... Actually, I mean, it sounds rude to say this, but I think he looks like a club player who obviously has an aptitude for staying in. But I just think he looks very vulnerable, and whenever he tries to drive the ball, it skews off a thickish edge. I just think he looks like a wicket waiting to happen most of the time. What's your take on him?
Yeah, I mean, he's a player who was, for most of his career, been an accumulator, really, a steady sort of eddy at the top of the order, but he's now tried to embrace the aggressive style that England are playing, and it's probably not his natural game. And he got 30-odd here in the second innings, and he was dropped three times, including the first ball of the innings. If that catch had been held, and it's pretty straightforward, England might have had a wobble, it's possible, you know. But, I mean, Crawley, likewise. I mean, he got 60-odd not out here, and, I mean, you know, and he's a sweet timer of a cricket ball, but, you know, it's no good being a sweet timer of a cricket ball if you're back in the pavilion, is it? So I think top of the order is a concern. I mean, they've gone from Burns and Sibley to Lees and Crawley. Is that an improvement? Not sure. I mean, you could look back and say Adam Lyth and Sam Robson, perhaps, are, you know, both better than Lees and Crawley, you know. So it's a tricky one. You know, England haven't found, reliable opening pair since Strauss and Cook retired, really. And, you know, it's a tricky gig at the top of the order, isn't it? With the ball moving around in England, the Duke's ball, and as somebody said, the last two guys to crack it at the top of the order have both been knighted.
Yes, that's right. As you know, our sponsor IG provides individual investors with the platform to build a portfolio by picking their own investments from thousands of international shares. So the question we've been asking during this test match is, how well have these two teams been picking their shots? So you mentioned there, John, that an impressive couple of shots by Crawley. Actually, I like the way he batted the night before on the second evening when England needed to be aggressive and, you know, well, they didn't need to be, but they decided to be aggressive. And he played some really purposeful shots through the leg side. Today, obviously finishing the match with that rather grandiose sort of smack through the covers. What else struck you today about shot selection?
Well, Crawley's a lovely. I mean, you're right. His half century came from 36 balls. That was the previous day, but that's the eighth fastest ever made for England in a Test match. And ahead of him are the likes of the people you might expect: Bairstow, Botham, Flintoff, Stokes. They're ahead of him. They made faster half centuries. But, you know, for a chap who's been under pressure, had a really poor summer, that will do his confidence a lot of good. So, I think Crawley's, will take a lot from this innings. And, you can ink his name at the top of the order for the Test series in Pakistan coming up in December. Ollie Pope, you know, frisky, wasn't he? He was the first ball he faced. He came down the pitch to Rabada. And he wanted to finish it with a bit of panache, I suppose, with that reverse scoop. But, the way they play is not the way Test cricket has been played for the last 150 years. Coming down the pitch, the first ball to a quick bowl is not what people have done, but it's hugely fun to watch.
So those were the shots of the day with IG, our sponsors. To find out more, go to ig.com/investing. Can it work, do you think, in the long term? I mean, actually, Ben Stokes, we'll hear from him in a minute, but he was saying today that the approach in Pakistan might be slightly different and will have to be slightly different. They'll face a lot more spin. Pitches won't bounce as much. There won't be as much movement. It's more the long game. Can you see the approach here working?
I think I can. I mean, I think they're onto something. I think possibly six wins out of seven probably flatter them slightly this summer, but they're onto something. There's no question that all the players have embraced this, this positive attitude where, McCullum telling them, walk towards danger, be positive, don't be afraid of getting out. And it's worked, and it's not just with the bat, it's with the ball as well. You're having four or five slips, taking wickets, and Broad and Anderson have embraced it as well. Perhaps in the past they like to, they get a bit twitchy, they're going more than two and a half and over. But, now they get, setting four or five slips, bowling a full length, a drivable length, risking going for runs but taking wickets, and certainly this summer, certainly against South Africa, it's definitely worked. And I think they're onto something. I think they have to modify it slightly and perhaps play a bit more smart cricket at times, bearing in mind the match situation and the conditions and so on. You just can't go gung-ho all the time. You've just got to play a bit more smartly, and they did that the way that Stokes and Folkes batted at Old Trafford, so they've shown that it can be done.
Will you be in Pakistan?
Possibly not. Not for the some T20s coming up. In fact, the team, it's only Harry Brooke amongst the test players here, but the team leave in 2 days' time. But I'm looking into going into Pakistan for the three tests, yeah.
So that'll be December. Christmas in Pakistan?
Home for Christmas, home before Christmas. I think the first test starts on December the 1st, I think. So it's, you know, three tests in pretty much in 3 weeks. So, yeah, I mean, that's that'll be
Have you done Pakistan before?
I have. I was there in 2005 when England played over there, and I've been there lots of times for one-day stuff back in the 90s and so on. The World Cup of 1996, of course, was in Pakistan. The final was in Lahore. So, yeah, I've been to Pakistan quite a few times. And I enjoy it a lot. It's a fascinating country. Terrible times over there at the moment, obviously, with the floods and so on. And Imran Khan no longer in charge. But, yeah, that'll be a series that tests them because they won't know what to expect. I mean, Pakistan, you would expect, would encourage spin bowling. But they're well... stocked with quick bowlers as well. If Shaheen Shah Afridi is fit and Mohammad Abbas, for example, they're two magnificent performers. So it's going to be a tough series over there for Stokes and his guys.
It's an interesting country, actually, where you used to have to sort of sign a chit, say you're an alcoholic, to get an alcoholic drink. I'm not sure if it's like that anymore.
Yeah, that's right. It was the Pearl Continental Hotel in Peshawar. You had to sign a... yeah, exactly that. So you're an alcoholic and you'll get this sort of Murray beer, which was full of glycerine, and had two bottles to give you a thumping headache the next day. But I mean, obviously the hotels and so on don't serve alcohol. But if you were so inclined, you could go to the British club or the American club attached to the embassies and have a glass of red and steak and chips and play a game of snooker if you wanted to. So that was a way of whiling away the time. But a really enjoyable country to visit. There's no question. It's the first time England have been there.
Yeah, it'd be an amazing series, everyone, actually, won't it? It'd be a
fascinating series. Everyone will be made extremely welcome. They roll out the red carpet, and it'll be a really exciting series.
I wonder actually what impact it might have on Pakistan with this England side. This will be the next Test series they play after this series. Is in December, so they'll come with quite a reputation, and I imagine quite a bit of press coverage and maybe some expectation on them, really.
Yeah, I mean, Babar Azam's probably the best batsman in the world, isn't he? Best all-round player in the world at the moment, so he's a fine player. And, you know, obviously, as I just said, they've got terrible trouble with the floods, and hopefully the cricket will give them something to enjoy and to maybe act as a bit of a distraction.
Time for another shout-out for our sponsor, IG. If you're investing for the future and want to put yourself in the best possible position to achieve the best possible outcomes, then you could do worse than considering investments from IG. Through IG's investing platform, you can pick from thousands of UK and international shares with low commissions and extended hours on dozens of major US stocks. You can also discover the potential of exchange-traded funds, or ETFs, which allow you to invest in the performances of a wide range of different sectors, regions, assets, and themes, like clean energy, electric vehicles, or AI. Or, if you'd rather leave it to the experts, you can choose from a number of ready-made, low-cost IG smart portfolios, each designed and managed for you in line with your preferred risk appetite. All options are available as a tax-efficient ISA with a SIP account coming very soon. To find out more, go to ig.com/investing, remembering that the value of your investments may fall as well as rise, and you may get back less than you deposit.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Well, listen, let's hear from Ben Stokes. Anyway, he gave quite a lengthy press conference after play today. And actually, there was a big smile on his face throughout this press conference, not surprisingly, given England's tremendous success. But it was just interesting to hear how he responded to what has happened over the last 6 weeks or so.
It's quite hard not to be pleased when you finish off a summer of seven tests and coming out on the right side in six of them. Yeah, I mean, look, a lot of credit has got to go to everyone involved in English cricket this summer, from the players to the management to the backroom staff, because, you know, it's not just about the 11 guys out on the field who sort of have to believe and buy into a new way of playing. It's about everybody around you, you know, the language that gets spoken in the dressing room by everybody, you know, the coaches, the way in which they work with all the players as well. So, you know, this has been a huge collective sort of, you know, responsibility put on everyone this summer, and everyone's dived into it, and everyone's, you know, really taken to it like a duck to water, I would say, because it is a very special thing that we've managed to achieve this summer. But when we go to Pakistan, we can't live off the fact that we've won six out of seven games, because what we're presented with is a completely different challenge. So we want to go there and just keep continuing the form that we've showed, and more of the way in which we play. And, you know, as Baz has said, you know, just walk towards that danger of what Pakistan is going to throw at us. You know, it's a hot country. It's, you're not going to get anywhere near as assistance with the ball as you do in England. You're going to be facing a lot more spin. And that's a new challenge for us, and something that we're excited by, to go out there and show off that, you know, different situations we can still go out there with the positive mindset and look to always try and put the pressure back onto the opposition. One thing for me and the team, know that we have we've got a responsibility for upcoming cricketers and people who aspire to play for England. And for us, you know, if you look at 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds now who want to play for England, things will probably be different when they get their opportunity, because it's a long way away from them. There will be a new captain. There will be a new coach. There will be a new way of playing. But for us now, it's trying to inspire these kids to want to be in the position that we find ourselves in. And through all the positive stuff that we've managed to do this summer, I feel as if there's also another added responsibility on the people who comment on the way that we play as well, because we're in the day and age now where social media is so accessible to people that if we're playing in a certain way and we're saying this is what we want to do and we believe in it, to be almost criticised of that, what type of messages is that sending to the next generation of people? Because I feel straight away there that you get a sort of grey mixed messages by, well, if I'm in the dressing room, I'm being told to do this, but then the people who are there to commentate and talk about the way, that's then getting criticised. So it could leave people in a grey area. So I think it's much a responsibility that we've got to go out there and do the way we each want to perform. I feel as if that if people are going to, who write about the game or talk about the way in which we play, they should understand as well that they have got a huge influence on the next generation of cricketer as well, because people do listen to what they say about the game, which sometimes contradicts what we're trying to say. And at the end of the day, the most important thing is what is said and what is spoken about in the dressing room. Trying to take the result out of the equation and putting a few things before that is something that we've done really well this summer. You know, we don't like to focus on the scoreboard too much. You know, like the other day when Dean and SJ played really well at the top of the innings, when that's always been the hardest time to bat, you know, they dug in, they stuck in really well. You look up at the scoreboard, they get up to us, then they go past us. You know, we just took that scoreboard away, and we knew that if we were to stick to what we do well, we knew that we would get wickets in clusters. So rather than focusing on they've got up to us, they're now past us, or they're now at 100, we just still focus on what we were doing and concentrated on what we knew we wanted to do, rather than sort of looking up there all the time and worrying about, like, oh, we don't want them to get too many runs, because no matter how many runs they were going to get, we were always going to try and chase it down. It just makes it a lot simpler. The guys who have come in the summer, you know, Popey, even like, you give so much credit to Joe Root in the way which he's gone about and changed the way that he's played, but still done it so successfully. Just proves how good of a player is that he's completely gone against what Joe Root is almost known for, you know, these reverse sweeps and all that kind of stuff. So it's amazing to see. So people will probably say it's the way in which I've spoken or the way in which I've captained, but you need to have the players in the dressing room really believe in what you're saying, and they've got to take just as much as credit as what people are giving me. Who knows how far we could take this test side over the next couple of years, because we've got two of our premium fast bowlers who unfortunately have had big injuries this summer and have missed a lot of cricket. So you add Jofra and Woody into the mix, you know, being fully fit. Scary to think where things could go, especially with the ball and, you know, the batters as well that we've got coming through and everything like that. It's you know, it's a very high ceiling. Looking back, just the whole summer's just been great. I've absolutely loved it. I've enjoyed every moment of coming into this new role. I've really enjoyed the way in which everyone has just you know, I don't know, just really just had fun, and the way in which things have changed and understood that, you know, the game comes with enough pressures without adding any more to it. And that's something that I think me and Brendan have actually done really well, is that we've taken all the external pressures away. Just even like days on warm-ups and stuff like that, just lads, you just guys just go and do what you want to do, just be ready for 11 o'clock, because we've all played enough cricket to know what we need to do to get ready for the start of the day at 11 o'clock. You don't need to be out doing, you know, the odd hamstring stretch and a few shuttles between the wickets after you bowl five overs in the morning anyway. So it's just been a big change, and everyone's really enjoyed it. And I think that the fact that we've been able to take those pressures off everyone within the group has really helped. Before I officially took the role on, one thing that I was very true to myself on is that I don't do things because you feel like it's going to, I don't know, come across in the right way to other people. There were captains before me who did it in their way. There will be captains after me who will want to do it in their way. But one thing that I wanted to do was just to make sure that I stay completely true to myself, and you know, honesty and authenticity is something that I really want to, that I really wanted to keep this summer, and something that I want to do going forward, because I feel that's how you get the best response out of people, is when you do speak, is that they know that you mean it, whether that be if you're disappointed in something or you are giving praise to someone, that never feels like you're doing it just for the sake of doing it and saying it because it's sort of the right thing that should be said. I feel as every time I speak and say something, that it is, everyone knows that it's completely genuine. I'll never forget walking down the steps out of the changing room there on day one, to complete silence within the ground. We didn't know that was going to happen. We're normally used to walking down with the big cheering before the amps and everything like that, but walking down, the silence was deafening. It was incredible. You could see the upset, but also the amount of respect that everyone has for the Queen, her service to the country and all around the world as well. And I said before we started on day one that we take a huge amount of inspiration from what she did in her reign to commit her life to England. We obviously do it nowhere near to the extent that she did for 70 years, you know, but we walk out there and we represent this country, and we do it with a lot of pride and honour as well.
Well, that was a thoughtful and quite reflective Ben Stokes, looking back at what's been achieved this summer and how it's been achieved, and he should be very proud of it too. But you have to say, with an 80% win ratio record at the moment, that's going to take some sustaining, that's for sure. But it won't be for the want of trying, and it certainly has become a very compelling watching team. It'll just be interesting to see how they approach the slightly more tricky and demanding circumstances and conditions in Pakistan. Well, we'll be back tomorrow to look back with Simon Mann at the summer as a whole. Speak to you then.
Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.